I desire an interest in your prayers this evening. The Lord would help us. I know we are very needy before the Lord. And I know the Lord is faithful to speak to each and every one of our hearts, and I'm thankful for that. Last night we talked about our desperate need of the Spirit of God to guide and direct us and all of the details of our lives. We talked a little bit about what happens if we don't. Dear ones, the enemy has spun a web for every one of our souls, and he's still spinning it here tonight. And he would love, if at all possible, to get you and I into that web and to cause us to get twisted and entangled in that web. I thought about tonight what the Lord has laid on my heart is I've been thinking about those that have gotten their lives into a twisted, entangled mess because they have failed to allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead them. Just like Israel of old, if you go back through the scriptures, you'll find place after place, time after time, where Israel got in trouble and got in trouble and got in trouble because they failed to allow the Lord to lead them in their lives. Now, you would think after a while that they would have learned their lesson. But unfortunately, they, like many in our world today, have allowed the enemy of their souls to deceive them and to convince them that the Broadway that we talked about last night is a much easier, much less constraining way than the way of the Lord. But the only reason that they think that way is because they fail to see the web that Satan had spun for their souls until it was too late and they found themselves twisted and tangled in the things of sin. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when you talk about a confining way, you talk about a hard way, the scriptures are true. The way of the transgressor is hard. And I was thinking about what Jesus said over here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in the 37th verse, he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Oh, if Israel had only heeded the dealings of God with their souls, how much heartache, how much trouble it would have saved them, their children, their children's children, all the way down to your and I's time today. And you know, dear ones, it's the same way that is thing that is happening over and over. As you look out at people's lives, and I'm sure you've done it, and I've done it, and I've looked at their lives, and I've thought, oh, if only they had listened to the leadings of the Lord in their lives, His dealings, how much heartache it would have saved them. And their children, if their grandparents had taken and followed the leadings of the Lord, how much it would have saved them heartache for those grand and great and great and great great grandchildren. But they didn't. Jesus would have loved to have helped Israel. And he would have if they had simply allowed him to be able to lead them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, today Christ would love to help souls. And he'll do it if souls will only take and allow him to lead them and guide them. But unfortunately, many today are just like Israel. And they have allowed other things to influence their choices and decisions. And you remember the definition of a way? It led them in a direction. There were things, actions that were taken that led them in a direction that brought about their destruction. If you notice what Jesus said in this 38th verse, he said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." That's a sad picture, isn't it? Webster defines desolate as a state of bleak and dismal emptiness. Dear ones, that is the state that Satan would love to get each and every one of us in here in that condition, if he could do it. And that is exactly why the enemy of our souls works so hard to twist and tangle things in our lives, because his goal is to take and get you and I in a condition to where we have no hope of ever being able to recover. And I'm going to tell you, when a soul loses hope, it is definitely a bleak and dismal condition to be in. But you know what? It all starts by getting entangled. And as I mentioned last night, it's not always the big things, the bad things. Many times it's little things that really are not wrong in themselves. But it's something that the enemy can take and he can begin to twist and tangle in our lives. And before you know it, dear ones, our lives are in a twisted, entangled mess. You don't have to look very far around us to see people that are in this condition. You just look at the financial condition that many people are in our nation today. I've talked to people, I've counseled with people, I've looked at their finances, and I'll be honest with you, I thought, Lord, I don't see how they can ever recover from this. Their income was less than their outgo, and not only could they not get out of it, but they were digging a deeper and deeper hole all the time. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's a trap. It's a trap of the enemy. And if the enemy can get you in that trap, it is very, very difficult sometimes to get out of it. You might say, oh, Brother Kirsten, you don't understand. There's bankruptcy, and you can go file bankruptcy, and you just start all over, and everything's clear. But I'm going to tell you what will happen. The enemy will use it to hinder your faith. If you ever get down in a place, dear ones, to where you're at death's door and the enemy is there and he is fighting tooth and nail for your soul, he will use everything within his power to try to destroy you and I can tell you by experience. I've been down there and the devil fights so hard. And if he can't find something, he'll bring up things that you did long ago and made restitution, and he'll say you didn't do it good enough. And his whole purpose, dear ones, is to shake your faith in God. And there came a place, dear ones, you've heard me tell it, the devil tried so hard to say, you failed somewhere, and I pled with the Lord, I'll do whatever if you show it to me. And the Lord wouldn't show anything. And finally, I just had to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't care what the devil says, even though he says you've forsaken me, I love you enough that I'm still going to trust you. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's what it's going to take. But if there's one thing in your life that the enemy can put his finger on, he'll press that and press that until he destroys your faith in God if he can.
Right.
Young people, young couples, and I shouldn't even limit it there. It happens to everyone of all ages. Let me warn you tonight, be very careful with the trap that the enemy has for your soul in finances. Watch those credit cards. I realize that those are things that sometimes we can't do without. I know when my wife and I got married, we were just like, we're not even going to get one. And it wasn't very long that we found that even back then, there's a lot of things you just can't do. And we find ourselves going to somebody else and borrowing their credit card so we could take and rent a car or do something. And finally we said, well, that's ridiculous. And so we got one. But we resolved in ourselves, well, we're not going to charge up all this debt. We'd already seen it way back there. And we're going to pay it off every month. And we did it for several years. When our children were little one year and we had some reverses, and it was Christmas time, and we could not afford to buy gifts for our own children as well as the rest of the family that was involved. What do you do in a situation like that? I'm going to tell you, you'd be better off just say, I'm sorry, we can't afford it this year. I'm going to give you a piece of candy or something than to fall into that trap. But what we did, we put it on the card. We'll take care of it next month. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, next month wasn't any better than this month. And the month after that. And what we thought we'd pay next month took us several years to pay off, because it kept growing. And it kept growing because this happened and that happened. And once we had it on there, and it was several thousand dollars and several years before we ever paid it off. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, That will be a yoke about your neck, and it will work on your family and your relationships. It's a terrible trap that the enemy has for our souls. You say, well, having debt and things is not wrong. No, but I'm going to tell you, it's something the devil can twist. And he'll twist it if he can.
Yes, that's true.
But you know, it's not just those things. The devil uses anything and everything that he can. You look around us today, dear ones, at the marriages that are in a twisted, entangled mess in our world today. His children, her children, their children, and those children are by different ones. And you look at this and you think, how in the world can these children ever get a hold of the concept of the sanctity of marriage? How can they ever get a hold of the concept of a loving Heavenly Father, one God, that loves them, that will never leave them nor forsake them? How can they get a hold of the concept of the one church that's not divided into sectism and all these other things? One church that is a spotless bride that is faithful to her husband. When everything in their lives is so twisted and tangled. But you know, it doesn't stop just there. It's all the other baggage that comes with it. All of those insecurities and all those inferiority complexes and emotional disorders and behavior problems because of all the frustrations. And you look at all these things in their lives, dear ones, and you wonder, how in the world can these children ever get a grip on reality of what God intended for mankind? But you know what happens? All of that starts with something little. Sometimes it's what I mentioned a while ago, finances. And the devil gets to working in families and he begins to twist and twist and the pressure begins to build and walls go up. And before you know, you have these other things that are happening. It can be anything, dear ones, that the enemy is using. And when I look at these things and I see this in our world and I see the condition that is happening all around us, do you know what I think of? I think of this scripture that we just read. Here in Matthew, the 23rd chapter and the 37th verse. And I'm going to substitute America for Jerusalem. Oh, America, America, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Oh, America, oh, dear ones, if only the people in our nation would have taken and allowed the Spirit of God. And he's just saying, if you'd only listen to my dealings with your souls. If you'd only allowed me to lead you and guide you, I'd have led you down a safe path. I would have led you in a path of righteousness and holiness. Your children would rise up to call you blessed, instead of cursing you to the face like many are today and taking the lives of their own family members because of things that have happened in their lives. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God had something better in mind than what our world is facing. You say, brother, that doesn't mean that your children... No, it doesn't mean they're going to be saved. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, God still has a better way. Even if our children don't and they turn away, the way of the Lord is right. And if you and I will take... And I look at this... Oh, America, if you just allowed me to do this. But he said, but you would not.
Yes.
Behold, he said, your house is left unto you desolate. Dear ones, I want you to look at the twisted, entangled mess that our nation is in. Financially, morally, politically, and in almost every way that you look. It's in a twisted, entangled mess in our nation today. I want you to look beyond that, and I want you to drill down and look at the lives of people who have gone out there and dabbled in drugs and alcohol and gambling and have got into pornography and all these other things that the enemy has brought to entice and to twist and entangle their lives. And then I want you to stop and look at the twisted, entangled condition that their lives are in, that sin has left them in. Their minds, their finances, their thoughts, all of those things are twisted and tangled because of sin until it comes to the place to where it's hard for them to even understand the simple principles of truth. until it's hard for them to even have a hope of ever being able to escape some of the things that they're in. I'm reminded of a couple young men that I've talked to. These young men grew up right among the saints. They sat in services just like these young people here. But they began to dabble in drugs, pornography, other things. And when they got into that web that the enemy had sown for their souls, the devil began to spin and spin, and they went deeper and deeper and deeper into those things. Until their minds, their thought processes were so twisted and tangled, they could not even get a hold of the simplest concept of a childlike faith in God. They were even questioning if God was real himself. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, salvation is not only the sweetest thing, it is the simplest thing you will ever find. It comes down, and I've told the folks this at home recently, it comes down to such a simple thing as recognizing God's dealings with our soul, recognizing that I'm lost, I'm headed to a devil's hell, repenting, crying out to God for mercy, and then simply believing what God said, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes. Do you know, dear ones, that's as simple as salvation. It's not anything about us, our works, our abilities, or anything like that. It comes down to the simple faith in the blood of Christ, the sacrifice that He made for your soul and mine. But I'm going to tell you, the devil, when he gets a hold of you and I, he'll begin to twist and he'll begin to tangle and he'll work in our lives until it's hard for us to even grasp these little precepts. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when he does that, it's a terrible thing. There are souls that are in so much trouble. And I can't hardly describe to you the awful feeling that I have sometimes when I'm talking to them. I'm like, Lord, how can I help them? But you know, dear ones, it's not just those that have gone far deep in sin. It's not just those that have taken and allowed the devil to get them so deep into this mess that the devil works on to twist and tangle their lives. He'll work on you and I if we fail to allow the Lord to lead us and guide us in every detail of our lives. Have you ever found yourself get involved in a conflict or trouble that started out as something little, but as the devil began to twist and he began to twist and he began to tangle things up, it drew other people in and it drew other different situations in. And before you know it, it's such a big mountain that you look at it and you think, I don't know how it's ever going to get resolved. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil will do that to you and I if we allow him. If we fail to allow the Spirit of the Lord to deal with us and lead us through situations, the devil will get there and he'll begin to twist. And he'll use anything that he can. It can be problems in marriage. It can be just between you and your wife. And the devil will begin to twist. And it'll get somebody else involved. And it'll get somebody else over here involved. And the next thing you know it, he's like, well, how in the world did they get involved in this? It can be in financial problems. And it can just be your finances. And before you know it, the devil will get you over here and you borrow from this one and that one. And next thing you know, and now everybody's got problems. You see what he does? It can be family problems, and it can just spread. And it can be congregation problems. And if you got it, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I didn't come here to know anything about it. I'm not on Facebook. If you want to know if there's anything out there, I don't know about it. Now, if you're on it, I'm not saying it's wrong. But I made the conscious decision a long time ago, and I told the people at home, I said, I don't want to know about all those things. Because when I get something from the Lord, I want it to be from the Lord. And there's been times that I've got up and I've preached, and my wife said later, she said, I had to go to talk to Sister So-and-so. We were just talking about this, and I know they think, I probably told them. I didn't know anything about it. She don't tell me those things. And I don't want to know. And she don't want me to know, because she told me, she said, I want you to get it from God. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that when the Lord does it and it touches right on the thing, then you know it's from God. And that's, I don't want to know those kind of things. But you know, dear ones, the devil doesn't care what he uses. It can be on our job. I'm going to get right down to where we live, dear ones. And I'm going to use myself. I'm going to be very transparent with you here tonight. I live right in the same type of conditions that you do. I face the same devil you do. There was a situation there at work a while, some time back, and I'm not going to act like it was years ago because it wasn't. I'll just tell you who it is, how I am. But this situation was there, and it was involved my boss, and he can be pretty difficult sometimes. He has been a real blessing to me, and I thank God for him. I hate to think of the day when he leaves. But I'm going to tell you, there's times he can be tough. And if somebody doesn't seem to be carrying their way, or he doesn't have respect for them because of something, I'm going to tell you, he can be hard on them. And sometimes I've had people come to me different times, and they say, "You need to talk to him. That was too hard. He was too hard on that individual." And I've tried different times to say a few little things, but it didn't seem like it really changed anything. And this is not something that just happened a few days, a few weeks, a few months. It's year after year. And over these period of years, they kept coming to me and saying, "Look, you've got a great relationship. You're the only one that can deal with this. You need to get involved and you need to let him know this is not right. You need to somehow change this," as if, I wasn't his boss. And so finally, after it just kept on and kept on, finally one day I decided, all right. You remember I said last night, if we fail to heed the dealings of God, it'll lead to actions, which will lead to a sequence of events that will lead in a direction. You remember what I'm saying? I should have listened to the Lord. But they just kept on. I finally thought, well, maybe I need to say something. Maybe I need to get involved in this. And so as things began to happen, I began to insert myself in the situation. And so when he would begin to get on to somebody that I felt like that was a little hard, I began to insert myself into that someone else. And I take their side. And it began to cause a little conflicts between me and him. Now you remember, once you start down that path, you don't know what all is going down there. Right. When I started down that path, lo and behold, the very ones that were taking and pushing me, at least one of them that was pushing me to deal with this situation, flip-flop, and it seemed like they were joining with my boss and almost trying to use what I was doing to resolve this against me between him. Maybe it was just me, but maybe it was the devil just used it. I don't know. But I was like, they're the one that asked me to do this. Well, I'd already started. Now, I wouldn't do it just for them, but I was trying to resolve the situation, and I kept on working with it, and things just didn't go well. And I'm going to tell you, when people flip-flop on you that way, and it's like, well, that's all right. Pretty soon, the Lord began to knock on my heart. I said, "Better watch that. Remember last night? Better be careful." I finally got to the place where I humbled myself before the Lord. And I began to talk to the Lord. And I told him, I said, "Lord, I don't want all this. Lord, I'm sorry. I should have never got involved in this." And the Lord brought me a scripture. You know, when the Lord brings you a scripture, you better look out. Proverbs, the 26th chapter, the 17th verse. He said, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife that belongeth not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Yes, Lord, I know. What do you do, dear ones? You walk by an old mad dog and he's just looking at you and he's not bothering you. You just reach over and grab him by the ears. Now what are you going to do with him? He wasn't bothering you before. But I'm going to tell you, if you turn him loose now, he's going to bite you. And the longer you hold on to him, the madder he gets. And he's going to sit there and be nipping at your heart. You're not going to get out of it unscathed. The Lord brought that to me, and I was like, "Yes, Lord. I shouldn't have gotten involved in this." I'm going to tell you what I did. I asked the Lord to forgive me for that. And the Lord said, "But you're going to have to go back to him." Okay? I began to watch for the opportunity, and I got an opportunity, and got him in the conference room one day, and I told him, I said, I owe you an apology. He looked at me like, why? And I began to tell him. I even told him the scripture that the Lord gave me. And I said, I shouldn't have done it, and I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that song, Humility Thou Secret Veil, Unknown to Proud in Heart. When I humbled myself before him, my boss was in tears when we got through. It resolved it all. Dear ones, I'm going to tell you, the devil works. He tries everything that he can to take and twist things and get you and I. You say, well, I'm not going to go out there and sin, and I'm not going to do all these things. It don't matter. I'm going to tell you, he has got a web spun for every one of us in here. And if he can get one paw, so to speak, in that web, he's going to come and he's going to start spinning until he gets you and I so entangled that we can't get out. And that's what his goal is. You might say, well, Brother Curtis, but you don't understand. I'm not in your situation. This involved me. And this belonged to me. Did it? Or did it belong to God? You see what I'm saying? Wasn't it the Lord that said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord? Why do you think he said that? Dear ones, he knew that you and I cannot handle those kind of things. And he said, no, you give that to me. You ever take with a child and they begin to do something and they get a hold of it? No, here, I'll take care of that. Because you know it can harm them. Do you know the Lord did those things for you and I? And he said, no, vengeance is mine. I'll take care of that. You don't even go down that path. Wasn't he also the one that said, I'll fight your battles? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, most problems start out very little. And had someone taken and followed the leadings of the Lord in their life, it never would have been ratcheted up and got into that huge, twisted mess that the enemy has gotten it into. But unfortunately, many times people are people, and they don't always follow the leadings of the Lord. And I'm not just going to say they, we. Sometimes don't follow the leadings of the Lord. I'm just telling you right where I'm at. And sometimes we get ourselves into these situations and the devil begins to take those things and he begins to work in our hearts and our lives and he twists and he twists. And it doesn't have to be something that is technically wrong. Dear ones, the enemy will take and he'll use every avenue that you and I allow him.
That's right.
And when he gets a hold of that, have you ever seen a dog get a hold of something and just shake it and twist it and twist it and twist it until he about tears it up? That's exactly what the devil does.
Yes.
And what he's doing is he's standing over there in the corner and he's watching you. And when he sees the Lord come by and he knocks on your heart and he says, be careful there. And we turn and go the other way. The devil's like, I got it. That's why it's exactly what I'm watching for. Those little nudges, dear ones, that maybe we say, well, this is not really wrong. But when I turn and I fail to follow the leadings of the Lord in my life, the devil's watching that. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go over here and this is where I'm going to start spinning. Because I know if they didn't listen to the Lord, I'm going to hit him right over here. And that's exactly what he does. Have you ever taken and told someone something? And when you told them, after you told them, and time went by, you're thinking, oh, I wish I'd have never said a word. You ever been there? I'd say we probably all have, haven't we? At the time, the Lord come along and he gave you a little bit, ooh, better be careful what you're saying here. But it was weighing so heavy on us, and it was such a heavy burden that I just feel like I have to talk to somebody. I'm going to tell you, you better watch it when you hit the feeling that way. Because the enemy of your soul will come in and weigh you down so heavy with burdens because he's trying to get you to do something that he wants you to do. And it's that time you better learn to talk to the Lord. But you go and you talk to him and you confide in him, And then they go, and now they've got a burden, and they go and talk to somebody else. And this person goes over here and talks to this person. And before long, it's all twisted out of perspective. The facts get all twisted through all the different times that it was repeated, because every individual focuses on something that they feel like is important. And then this one gets something, and before long, it's not at all like what it was when you told it. And when it gets back to the people involved, you got hurt feelings. You got people who are offended. And you're like, oh, Lord, what did I do? Lord, why did I ever say anything? Lord, what is it that is there something here that I said or done? And the Lord's saying, tried to get you to be careful there. Now you're just going to have to humble yourself. You see what I'm talking about? Dear ones, these are the places that the enemy comes in and he begins to talk to us. He wants so bad to find one little string. It don't matter if it's like a hair. He'll twist that and he'll twist it until it pulls another one. And then it pulls another one. Before long, he's got a rope. And if he keeps twisting that rope, before long, it'll be right around our neck, so to speak. Because he's out to destroy us. And when that happens, dear ones, the devil will take and get us in a place of depression, discouragement, until we feel like there's just no hope. Just like those young men that I mentioned. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, those young men, they wanted to be saved. That's why they came and talked to me. They had a desire. They'd been out there and they didn't like where they were at. And they'd longed to be able to get saved. But they were struggling to have an understanding of God. Yes. To be able to just have that simple childlike faith. And the enemy was there to try to destroy them. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there's a lot of other people that are in that condition tonight. I don't know what everybody's shape is here, but God does. I don't know why all He has dealt with me the way He has in this meeting. Some things I do, because you have already told me some things about how the Lord has worked in your lives. But dear ones, I'm going to tell you, the Lord wants you and I to know, if it's not us, there's loved ones that we know that are in those conditions. And I want you to know that our God is able to take and do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. There is nothing that is too hard for our God. Now think about the scripture over here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter and the 27th verse. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Dear ones, my burden this evening is that we recognize that regardless of how the enemy has worked, and no matter what happens, that we not allow him to discourage us and to cause us to feel like there's no hope. Because I'm going to tell you, dear ones, regardless of how much he has twisted and tangled things in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, in the community where we live, in our nation or in our world, there is nothing that our God cannot take care of if we'll simply give it to the Lord. Dear ones, we can take, our God is still on His throne. And as He told the prophet here, He said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of most of the people in this world." It's not what He said, is it? He said, "I am the God of all flesh." Whether they worship Him or not, He is the God that created them. And dear ones, He is still in power. And He's still on His throne. And He said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" You might say, "Well, Brother Curtis, but you just don't understand my situation. You just don't know." And I may not. But dear ones, our God does, and that's all that matters. I don't have to understand. And you don't even have to understand. All that matters, dear ones, is that we take it to the Lord, and the Lord knows all about it. And He is able. He said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Do you know, sometimes We get involved in situations and we feel like we need to sort it all out and figure it all out before we take it to the Lord. And you know what? We don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is bring it to the Lord, let go, and let God. And He can take care of those problems. I shared this with the folks at home, I don't know, maybe a couple of years ago. I don't remember when it happened. But the Lord allowed something to happen that reminded me of this and His ability to be able to sort through all these difficult things in life. And He did it while I was fishing. I want you to get a hold of that now. He did it while I was fishing. It wasn't when I was down, and you understand me. The Lord talks to us when we're down in prayer and we're looking to the Lord. But He did it while I was fishing. Young people, I want you to understand something tonight. If you will allow the Lord to lead you in every detail of your life, He will take the little things of life, those everyday things that happen to you, and He'll use those to instruct you, to teach you, to reveal His will and His wisdom in your lives. And He'll show you things, deep things of God. If you only allow Him to lead you every step of the way. You know, sometimes we want the Lord to come down in a mighty way and manifest Himself to us when we're facing something big in our lives to where we know this was God and He worked it. But you know what I found out? Most of the time He doesn't work that way. Sometimes He does. Most of the time He doesn't. Most of the time the Lord comes along in our daily lives and He begins to talk to us. And He begins to take little things on the job or things out when you're out fishing or whatever it is. And He begins to reveal truths to your heart. He begins to reveal His will and things. And then when you get in that battle, and you're not really in the shape to be able to understand, and the devil's bringing fears, and the Lord brings back the memory of what He did. And you thought, oh, I remember what God did. The answer was way before you ever asked. And now the Lord brings it. And that's what the Lord has for you and I do once. He wants that. What happened, I was out in New Mexico and we were out there camping where we like to camp. You probably heard me talk about these kind of these being out there. I love the mountains. We were out there one summer and I was fishing. I was fly fishing. Not real good at it. But I like to do it. It's out quiet. I can talk to the Lord and enjoy the beauties of nature. And so I was out there and I was fly fishing. And if you know anything about using a fly rod, you've got your fly line and your leader and your tippet and all these lines joined together. And they're usually knots or sometimes you've got a factor deal. And when you're out there fishing and you're flipping that thing out there, a lot of times as that line comes back and it goes like that, that line will just go over itself. It'll lap and it'll come back over itself. And every time it hits one of those little knots, it'll take and it'll kind of wrap around. And if you're not really paying attention, sometimes if you are, and you just keep flipping that thing, every time it wraps and it wraps and it wraps, and all of a sudden you look, oh no. I tell you, I'm not good at tying those knots. I will work and work and work on a tangle to get it out so I don't have to tie another knot while I'm standing out there in the middle of the river. And I was fishing this day and I looked and I was like, oh no. It was just a big old tangled mess. And I was standing there and I thought, there's no way I'm going to get this out. I'm just going to have to go over to the bank, I'm going to find a place and cut it out and start all over again. I'm going to waste all this valuable time, beautiful weather fishing, but I'm just going to have to do it. And while I was standing there and looking at that mess, the words of that song just popped into my mind. The tangles of life can undo. And as I was looking at that mess, I thought, yes, the Lord could even untangle this. And as I was thinking about that, and I reached down and I just grabbed two of those little tangles and I lifted it up to look at, see what all was tangled. And the whole thing just unraveled. And I looked at that and I thought, that don't normally happen. And I was like, wow. And the thought came to me so clearly, that's what the Lord can do to people's lives. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that should give us hope. Because it doesn't matter how tangled our life gets, the lives of our loved ones or anything else, our God is on His throne. And He can take and untangle the things that sin brings, that the enemy works in our lives to tangle our lives.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, the secret is we have to allow Him to do it. It doesn't matter what the situation is. The more you and I work with it, the more entangled we're going to get it. That same day, that was a blessing to me. And that same day I was there and I went out in the afternoon and I was fishing. And as it would happen, those things happen quite often, he got tangled again. And it was another mess just like that one. And so this was all fresh in my mind. And I thought, okay. And that tangle was there. And I thought, you know, the Lord can untangle this. And I took and I lifted it up just exactly like I did that morning. But it didn't fall out. And so I lifted it up on this side and I began to work and lift this one. I thought, well, how can I do that to make that work? And the more I worked with it, the more tangled I got. And finally, I just got my scissors out and a knife and cut it. And it was like the Lord was letting me know, you can't do that. I'm the only one that can untangle those things in life. You know what? It reminded me of a scripture. There's a scripture in Mark, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse, where Jesus was talking to his disciples in Mark 10 and 27. And this is where he was talking to them about the rich man and how it's harder for the rich man to enter heaven than a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And his disciples listened to that and they were amazed. And they're like, who then can be saved? Well, that's impossible. And the Lord looked at them and he said, looking on them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this part, this 27th verse is what reverberated in my mind as I was standing there when I had to cut that knot out. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, regardless of what the situation is. You say, well, no, Brother Curse, wait a minute. Regardless? Yes. What about the problems in the Middle East? Yes. Our God can resolve all those if people just turn it over to Him. So what about the political mess? Now, that's one that's just too big. Do you know what? If men would turn it all over to God, it'd unravel all the problems, all the strife. And you know what? He can do the same thing in each one of our lives. Every little detail of our lives, dear one, God wants to come down and He wants to work. I realize, though, that there are some times that things get so twisted and tangled in people's lives that it looks impossible. I'll admit to that. I'll confess to you, dear ones, there's times that I have looked and dealt with people, and as I have dealt with them, I've gone away. And in my prayers, I've told the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know how these people, all the things that are so in their tangled in their lives, I don't know how they can ever overcome this, leave alone, have a hope of heaven with these kind of things in their lives. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when the devil works on a child from a child and works on their personality to an adult, when he begins to take and build hurts in people from childhood, deep hurts I'm talking about, that causes bitterness, unforgiveness, that causes all kinds of emotional situations, it's hard to know how to deal with them. When people have attitudes that have built up because of these things, when you're dealing with people whose minds are messed up because of drugs or false doctrine, and I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I just about say one as bad as the other.
Yes.
People go out and they dabble in this doctrine and that false doctrine, and before you know it, you're trying to get them to understand simple precepts of truth, and they don't know what is truth. It's because they've been dabbling in all these things. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when people get in those conditions, it's difficult to know what to do. It's much more complicated than a twisted fishing line. But I want you to know what Jesus told the disciples there. He said, with men, it's impossible. I can't do it. You can't do it. The only one that can do it is God. He said, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, all you have to do is go to the Scriptures. And you can find things that will give you courage to know that God is able. Go over there and look at the story of the man that was possessed with the evil spirits. Legion of them. And you look at this man. He was bound by spirits that caused him to hurt himself and to hurt others. And no man, it said, could tame him. But you give him just a little bit of time with the Lord, and what happened? This man that was bound by spirits was dressed, clothed, and in his right mind, and he was bowing at the feet of Jesus, worshiping God. And what did Jesus do? He sent him out to preach. You say, well, that's where he gets all those preachers. He told him, he said, you go home and you tell them what great things God has done for you. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, there is nothing that is too hard for our God. If he can do it for this man, I'm going to tell you, he can do it for us. He can do it for our loved ones. And how does he do it? And I know that clock's running. I'm going to quit here in just a minute. I'm going to tell you how he does it. He does it the same way that the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians. And if you turn with me over there to 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 17th verse, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Dear ones, he did not only take and unravel the mess that sin had gotten into this man that was there in the tombs, but God made him a new creature. Old things are passed away. Oh, I'm going to tell you, dear ones, I'm thankful to serve a God that can make things new. What was the prophet? Was it the prophet Ezekiel? Let's look at that. In Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, in the 26th verse, he said, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Dear ones, our God is able to do more than just untwist and tangle things. He's able to make things new. He can take a life where sin has made their heart hard, bitter, unforgiveness. He can take a person that sin has caused deep, deep hurts, disappointments, and he can heal them from the inside out. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you get cut sometimes, and I've had them on my hands in different places, and they'll scab over. And you pull that scab off, and it's just as tender. It'll bleed just like it was the first time you did it. And it still hurts terrible. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, when it heals from the inside out, it doesn't hurt anymore. You may have that scar, and yes, sometimes sin can leave scars in our lives. But I'm going to tell you, God can take and even take the scars away. But sometimes He allows us to keep those scars to remind us. Remember where you've been? Remember what I've done for you? But it doesn't hurt. Why? Because our God is not only able to untangle things, He is able, dear ones, to take and make things new in our lives. I don't know what your needs are tonight, but our God does. I hope, dear ones, that you can understand how desperately we need the Spirit of God to guide us in every detail of our lives. Because, remember, it's not just the things that are evil or that are wrong. It's the little things that happen in your life day after day that the devil is constantly taking and watching and trying to spin, trying to twist. And if he does that, he'll rob the joy and the peace right out of your salvation. And it won't be long. You'll find yourself, when that happens, going through the motions. And pretty soon all you can do is like that old fly that's in that web, and all he can do is flutter a little bit. You get to Wednesday night, and I don't have a testimony because all I can do is just like this. Because the enemy's been wrapping me and wrapping me.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, dear ones, our God is able to take and go to that web and cut us free. He can make our life new. He can give us joy and peace in our soul. We can get along with everyone. Said, oh, brother, you're getting a little far out there. I'm going to tell you, our God is able.
Yes.
Our God is able to take if we'll follow the leadings of the Spirit and make things new in our lives.
Yes.
And I want to encourage you tonight. If you're here and there's something that the enemy has been working in your life and it has robbed your joy and your peace, if it has kept you from having victory with God, let me invite you to bring it to the Lord. Because, dear ones, the greatest struggle that we have is to take and bring something to the Lord and let go and let God have it. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the devil will work and he'll try to keep you glued to your seat. He'll try to keep you glued to your problem because his purpose is to get you deeper and deeper into the web that he's trying to get for you. But I want you to know tonight, whatever it is, and again, I don't know what all your needs are tonight. This is what the Lord has given me. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we serve a God that is able to make things new. There is no embarrassment of coming and humbling ourselves before the Lord. There's no embarrassment to go back to somebody. You say, the devil will make you embarrassed. I know he will. But there's nothing that we have to be ashamed of. I told you what you say, preacher had to go back and ask forgiveness. Yes. I live in the same world you do. What I'm trying to get you to understand, dear one, is the devil is twisting and tangling things in every one of our lives. The folks, there's different ones here from home, they'll tell you. They've seen me right at that altar different times. Why? I'm going to tell you one, dear ones, I'm desperate to go to heaven. I recognize that I need the Spirit of God rich in my life. And if I find something that is hindering me, that's where I'm going to go. Because my desire is to leave it, to give it to God and let Him take care of it. And my urging and admonishment to you this evening is whatever it is, give it to the Lord. Let it go and let God take care of it. Appreciate your attention tonight.